that are not able to be here tonight that do take the CDs now. So I want to encourage you on what we're doing. We're seeking the Lord, our spiritual warfare. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. The Word of the Lord is talking to, or Jesus is talking to Peter in this portion of the Word of the Lord. And he tells him that he's going to give him the keys unto the kingdom of heaven. And I will give thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We understand that the main thing that Jesus was talking about here in this portion of Scripture is the born-again experience. He told Peter that he would give him the understanding, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. But when we talk about what happened at Acts 2:38, told them to repent, to be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, and they should receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's only two keys. One, maybe two keys at the most. So there are other keys in the kingdom of God, because he said keys, plural, not key. So let's look at fasting as one of those other keys, and let's talk about the keys of authority tonight. The keys of authority. When we're born again, we are automatically transferred from the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. If you don't think that this world is dark, you look at some of the things that are happening today and find that this world is dark. There's a gross spiritual darkness upon this world, upon our area. Just this morning on 96th Street on the West Side Highway, where they get off there, just like every Sunday I go to get Brother Rick, a woman drove down there, except she didn't turn. She just kept going straight, and she drove right into the river trying to commit suicide. There's just a gross darkness, murders and wars and all kinds of crazy stuff that's happening in our world today. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 tells us, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Aren't you grateful that the Lord delivered you from the power of darkness? And of course, the power of darkness is the power that the devil holds over this world. He's called, the Scripture says, the god of this world, in the little g. He is in no means any kind of god like the Lord is. He wants to be there. He wants to ascend up onto high, but that's never going to happen. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire. He is going to be chained for eternity. That's just not going to happen. Amen. Now, if we have a new king and we live in a new kingdom, we must understand kingdom principles if we're going to be victorious Christians. We cannot overcome until we have the keys that unlock the kingdom of heaven. Amen. For us, we can get into the church. We can be born again. We can get the Holy Ghost. We can be baptized in his name. We can praise the Lord. But to live a truly victorious life, it takes a little bit more than that. It takes some dedication. It takes some sincerity. It takes turning ourselves over to the Lord. The Lord never really meant for us to die, to wait until we die to experience heaven, but purposed for us to bring just a little bit of heaven to this earth through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible talks about the Holy Ghost as being the earnest of our inheritance. And one of the things that you will find that when you fast and you pray and you seek the Lord, it's like heaven begins to come down in the church. It seems like the presence of God becomes so strong and it becomes so real. And the reason that is because one of the reasons is we are drawing ourselves closer to the Lord. And when you draw yourself close to God, it's a little bit easier to not only feel His presence, but to bring His presence. Part of the reason sometimes services are dead and people don't worship is because they fail to bring the presence of God with them to the church. Amen? Amen. The presence of God is not necessarily the complete responsibility of the pastor. The pastor can do the best he can with preaching. He can do the best he can with prayer. But until people catch the vision that they have got to bring God with them to the church, then things still lack. You can have the best pastor in the world. You could trade me in and get a better pastor, and things would be absolutely no different if people did not choose to get themselves close to the Lord. I got a great promise for you in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Amen. It is the pleasure of the Lord to take our little flock and to give us the kingdom. He wants to bless this church. He wants to increase this church. He wants this church to have revival and evangelism. He wants great things to happen to His church. Sometimes we get fear inside of us and we say it's never going to happen. Things are never going to progress. We can't break through the barriers. Yet the promise of the Lord is, "Fear not, because it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Amen. So when we pray and we fast and we ask God, "Lord, would you help us? Lord, we come against the powers of darkness." If it's God's good pleasure to do those things, don't you think He's going to answer those prayers? Amen. So a lot of times what we need to do is just look at things in faith. Eyes of faith are not eyes of doubt. We cannot look at our situation the way it looks. We need to look at our situation the way it can be. Amen. God is a God that spoke things into existence, did He not? He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He said, "Let the firmament divide," and the land and the water appeared. And through the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you something, through the Holy Ghost, when you feel that prayer spirit come upon you, you begin to pray and you begin to seek the Lord. Through the Holy Ghost, you can speak some things into existence. And it's not you speaking it, not speaking it by your will. You're speaking it through the Holy Ghost, through the will of God. Amen. And even though it may not look like these things are coming to pass, you just got to look at your situation and say, "I believe God." Amen. I believe what the Lord has spoken. I believe what God's going to do. It may not look like it's happening. It may not act like it's happening. But the word of the Lord tells us a little thing about faith. We do not have faith in what we see. We have faith in what can be. Amen. So it's the Lord's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And by fasting and prayer, we bring us a little bit closer to that. We gain a little bit of spiritual authority. We are unable to receive God's healing, His provision, and His blessings if we do not know the keys that the Lord has given us to accomplish kingdom living. Keys represent authority in the kingdom of God, and authority is gained by using them. Fasting is only one of the keys in the kingdom. Others are prayer, praise, worship, intercession, travail, which is a prayer burden from the Lord. Amen. The Bible talks about that, how when they worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, that He set ambushments against the enemy. And if you want to set ambushments against the enemy of your soul, then you need to praise the Lord. Amen. When you come into the house of the Lord Sunday and the songs of Zion go forth, and the praise goes forth, offer up the Lord some praise. Amen. Set some ambushments against the enemy. It doesn't matter if it's even during the preaching. You can praise the Lord during the preaching. It's not going to bother me. Amen. We want to do that because we want to set some ambushments against the enemy. Because God is great. And He's able to bring down strongholds. And we can all take a part in that by worshiping the Lord. So, fasting is not the only key, but since we are in the middle of a fast, we're going to talk about fasting. And of course, the key of fasting has nearly been lost to the modern church and even to the modern apostolic church, a Pentecostal church. It is also one that some say was only for the early Christians. Looking closely at the Word of God, we find the Lord never did away with the principle of fasting, but it has been man who attempted to make it obsolete. On occasions, I discuss fasting with pastors, and I have been mocked. I have had unbelievable things said to me, and people will mock me. There was one woman that kind of mocked me, and later on she died. It wasn't because she mocked me. I don't know why she died. She got cancer and she died and so on and so forth. I don't know if it was because, I don't think it was because of me. God doesn't have that kind of authority over me. I mean, I don't have that kind of authority in people's lives. I would never want to condemn anybody. But when you mock the things of God like that, you lose the power that's available to you. I was reading just yesterday of a preacher. Sometimes I get on these preacher forums and see what people write. One man was saying, well, isn't there a way that you can fast without denying yourself food? Not a Daniel's fast. Maybe do something else. Fast from TV, fast from something else. Of course, that's more of a doctrine from Catholicism than anything else. And I get amazed. I get amazed what people will say. They've lost the vision. They've lost the ability. They've lost the burden. What is fasting? Amen. Fasting is still a valid key that can be used today to bring us into kingdom living. We can have a strong and a powerful church. Amen. And we do have a strong and powerful church. It's just not where the Lord wants it yet. God has more for us. And as long as we exist as a church, the Lord is always going to have something more for us, just like us. I've been living for the Lord 32 years now, and God still has more for me. Living for God is an ever-growing experience. And I've often likened it to a pond. The Bible talks about keeping the rivers of living water flowing inside of you. And, of course, that rivers of living water is nothing other than the Holy Ghost. And when I was a kid, I used to go to ponds, and there was one pond up in Connecticut called Ball Pond, a beautiful, beautiful pond. And it had a river running in and a river running out, a beautiful place. And there were other lakes that were not so beautiful. They were green and they were nasty because the waters did not flow. It's the same thing with us. We've got to keep the waters of the Holy Ghost flowing inside of us. And fasting and prayer is one of those ways that we keep the waters of the Holy Ghost moving inside of us. Amen? When you deny the flesh, when you seek the face of God, you will keep the power of God moving in your life. Praise the Lord. It's another means by which we can suffer for the Lord through the voluntary abstinence from eating. Biblical fasting is done to bring spiritual results and not simply for physical purposes. It is to glorify and exalt the Lord. Now, the Bible does tell us in Isaiah chapter 58 that your health shall return to you speedily. So there is a physical blessing that comes along with fasting. You may be going through the fast, and I've told everybody here, I don't want you doing a water fast. I want you to do at the most a Daniel's fast, one meal a day, sunrise to sunset, because fasting is very trying, fasting is very difficult, and even a Daniel's fast can be very trying for some. And the thing is that when we go through this thing, we feel like sometimes we're not going to make it, but without struggle, there is no strength. Amen? Without a fight, there is no victory. And when we fight the good fight of faith, I preached on that just a few weeks ago today, on a Sunday. When we fight the good fight of faith, I promise you that there is a reward waiting for the faithful. Amen? There's a reward waiting for the faithful. The Scripture tells us, and its fasting is also to aid us, as the Scripture says in Jude verse 23, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And when we read about the weapons of our warfare recently, it says that the weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. There are strongholds in people's lives that can be brought down through prayer and fasting that will not come down any other way. They'll come down through dedication, through fasting, through prayer, through seeking the face of God. they will fall. Amen? Come on. They will fall. The Word of God says they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. If you're facing something today that is a stronghold, it looks like it cannot be defeated. It looks like it's not going to come down. It can come down when the weapons of our warfare are applied to it. Amen. I'm grateful that God does those kind of things. Thank the Lord. Doctors today are discovering the physical benefits of fasting and have found that abstaining from food, not water, for several days has a wonderful cleansing effect on the body. Many impurities are burned up within the body as it is denied food, thus clearing the mind and cleansing and healing the body. What really happens in all the studies that I've done on it, it is very healthy. Sometimes it's very difficult. You will be fasting. You will feel lightheaded. You will feel dizzy sometimes. Part of that can be because when you fast, your blood pressure goes down a little bit. Other times, it's from the toxins. I don't know if you realize this, but the foods that we eat have a lot of chemicals in them, especially the processed foods. They've got a lot of chemicals in them. The meats have steroids in them. They've got growth hormones in them. They've got antibiotics in them, and all that gets in our body. And when you fast, what happens is your body begins to release that stuff, and your body begins to detoxify. And that's why it's healthy. Nature shows us that fasting is good medicine, as we automatically lose our appetites when sickness strikes. You ever seen that? Somebody gets sick. What do they want? They don't want to eat. Why don't they want to eat? It's the body's natural reaction, because there's a natural reaction that the body says it can help heal itself. Here's the great thing, is the Bible tells us that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. So when we fast, and we're fasting for spiritual reasons, I personally believe that the effect is multiplied because we're doing it for spiritual reasons. You can read a lot of secular books on fasting. There's sinners that fast, and there's heathens that fast, and they all find it's good for them. But when you fast for spiritual reasons, you're going to find that the effects can be multiplied because you're fasting to the Lord, and you've got the miraculous working power of God behind you. Amen? I believe that with everything that's within me. Obeying scriptural principles can produce positive physical results, and they are added blessings. Even people, I've read stories of people that are underweight that fast for spiritual purposes and have been known to gain weight after completing their fasts. The Lord tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, and it says, "Moreover, when you fast," notice right away it doesn't say if you should, if you might. He says, "When you fast, be not as the hypocrites. Don't have a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly." And you may say, "Well, Pastor, we're doing a church fast. Everybody in the church knows we're fasting." Well, that's a different thing. That's a corporate fast. We can't communicate that without letting people know. We can see, though, that our motives for fasting have got to be pure. We are not to do it in order to broadcast it. I don't like telling people outside the church that I'm fasting. They don't understand that. I've had people come to me before, because what will happen is if you're doing the kind of fast that I have done, you'll lose a lot of weight. I was telling Brother Soon, I'm down, I think, 26 pounds already. And that'll happen, and people look at you and say, "Are you sick?" I've had that happen, and people say, "Are you sick? Are you sick? Are you sick?" And you finally say, "Look, I'm not sick." "Well, what's the matter with you? You got to go to the doctor and get yourself checked out." Okay, they keep on. Finally, you tell them you're fasting, and then they go crazy on you because they don't understand. Amen? But we're not to do it in order to broadcast it. We're to do it quietly and simply as possible. so as not to attract attention to ourselves and say, oh, what a great guy I am. What a great person I am. Because we are, what we really want to do is glorify the Lord. Amen? We want to glorify the Lord. We want to put ourselves, I think it was John the Baptist said that he's got to increase and I've got to decrease. And what we've got to do in our fasting, in our prayer, we've got to decrease that we might magnify the Lord. What did Jesus say? He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It doesn't say if your pastor is lifted up. It says if Jesus is lifted up, then he's going to draw people to himself. So we don't lift up the pastor in that kind of respect, like I'm some kind of god or demigod or some kind of great person. It's all right to honor me. It's all right to do pastor appreciation, stuff like that. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But there are some churches I've been to where they treat the pastor like a god. And the Bible tells us that the Lord will not give his glory to another. Amen. So we've got to be careful in doing that. And somebody say, praise the Lord. We are to appear to others as much as possible that we are not fasting. There are exceptions, such as right now we're fasting as a group for a specific thing, or we've got multiple prayer requests, actually. Then it's got to be announced so people can take care of it or can take part. We find this in Joel chapter 1 and verse 14. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. So they did that in Old Testament days. They didn't go tell the heathens they were fasting, but they told the people of God, let's get together, let's get to the house of the Lord, let's sanctify a fast, and let's seek the face of God. So what we're doing has a biblical precedent. The main thing that the Lord desires is that it be done unto him and not as a show unto men. Our heart and our attitude has got to be right to produce spiritual results. Jesus, by fasting, set an example that we might follow in his steps in Matthew chapter 4, the first four verses. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The scripture tells us that the Lord drank water, but he did not eat food, for it says that after 40 days he was hungry. I promise you, I've done 21 days is the max I've ever done. I don't have any desire to fast for 30 days, although if you count the days where you get into the fast and the days when you get out of the fast, it exceeds 30 days. But I have no desire to. I've known people that I've heard stories, at least, and I've known people that have fasted 40 days, and it doesn't always bode well for them. I know a story of one man. He said he wanted to fast 41 days so he can say he fasted longer than Jesus, and on the 41st day he died. So you want to have a good motive. You want to have a good way of doing things. The scripture also gives us the example of the Daniel's fast, where Daniel caused war in the heavens, even though he ate a limited diet to maintain his strength. And as I said before, at that time, Daniel was 85 years old. So, but with our hectic life schedule and driving and working and traveling and so on and so forth, unless you can put yourself away for a time, I recommend that you do a Daniel's fast or some other method of fasting other than, like Jesus did, a water fast, because it's too taxing, and the Bible tells us that we ought to give work for our employers. Amen? So if you've got a job, you shouldn't fast a complete fast, because it, believe me, it takes a lot out of you. You've got to rest. You've got to have an opportunity to sit down and relax. And if you're getting paid and you're on the books, that's not fair to your employer. So I'm not sure that the Lord would honor that. Depending on a person's, or actually on Saul's conversion in Acts chapter 9 and 9, the scripture says, he immediately went on a fast for 3 days, neither having food nor water. It says, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. This is something I've never done. I've never gone 3 days. I've gone longer, but I've never gone 3 days without food and water. If you go over 3 days without water, your kidneys will shut down and you will die. Now, I have heard of people that have been inspired by God and did 5 or 6 days without water. But let me tell you something. You do something like that, you better have heard for God, because it's physically impossible except through the Holy Ghost. So that's not something I would recommend to anybody. Depending on a person's weight, the body can go for many, many, many days without food. A person, the bigger they are, the longer they can go. Amen? I mean, if you're 160 pounds and you're underweight, you shouldn't fast. Because what will happen, or at least a water fast, you can do a Daniel's fast. That's going to be healthy for you. That's not going to harm you at all. But when a person fasts and they're underweight, what happens is when you fast, your body begins to eat itself, and it will go after the fat. It will go after tumors. It will go after all kinds of crazy stuff. But if you're underweight, it will go after your muscle, and it will actually begin to eat your own body. So you can really, really hurt yourself doing that if you're underweight. So be careful with that. The Bible does not record any absolute fast that go beyond 3 days, except the account of Moses spending 40 days and 40 nights on top of Mount Sinai without food or water. He did that. But that was a supernatural encounter with God, and he was sustained during that time, because otherwise he would have died. And the human body cannot go without water that long unless it has supernatural intervention. Amen? Got to have supernatural intervention. So I don't want to say it can't happen, but let me tell you, I don't recommend anybody do anything like that, because you really, really have to have a move of God in your life in order to do that. Exodus chapter 34, verses 28 and 29 says, "He was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And then he came down with the two tables of the testimony, the Ten Commandments, in Moses' hands. And when he came down from the mount, Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." We can see that because Moses was in the literal presence of the Lord, it was the presence of God that sustained him. So he neither needed food, he didn't need water. And of course, this is unbelievable and exceptional. And unless you're seeing God face to face, I wouldn't recommend anybody do that. Amen. The Lord did not set up any specific durations for when we're to fast, but from his teachings, we do see that he does expect the church to fast. Luke chapter 5, verses 34 through 35 says, "And he said unto them, Can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days." Fasting can be done for one meal, can be done for one day, it can be done for 1 month, however long God leads. And it really depends on how the Holy Ghost speaks to us. The reason that I've chosen 21 days is because it's been quite a few years ago now that the Lord spoke to me about Daniel and how there was war in the heavens, and that a 21-day fast really brought some things to pass. And of course, this church came to us after one of those 21-day fasts in a kind of a miracle sort of way, absolutely a miracle sort of way. And I feel that the first of the year, I've just been feeling like the first of the year is time to get our eyes in order, our minds in order, so we can work the rest of the year, try to do something for God. Amen. We've got to reach the lost somehow. We've got to reach the lost. And fasting and prayer will give us ideas. It will give us inspiration. It will give us things to do. It will help us fight our spiritual battle. So I see nothing wrong with taking the first few weeks of the year, seeking the face of God, and asking him to lead us and to guide us through the rest of the year. And Lord willing, unless God changes my mind, January 1st next year, we're going to be doing the same thing again. Because I don't know about you, but if you do not keep this flesh under subjection, you will be lost. Amen. It's a spiritual battle that we fight. Amen. A 3-day fast can be beneficial for spiritual cleansing. An example of this was Paul being thrust into the fast on his conversion, and after 3 days of cleansing, he received the Holy Ghost and his eyesight when Ananias laid hands on him. We also can be spiritually cleansed by fasting so that we receive more of the Lord's Spirit and have our spiritual eyes open to a new dimension. And a three-day fast is also helpful in breaking addictive habits. There are people that have habits that they can't break. I promise you, promise you. It may take more than one fast, but God will help you to break some things. He will help you to break some bondage. Amen? God will do that. I promise you, He will do that. Isaiah 58 and 6 gives us a little bit of light on the purpose of fasting. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness and to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? You know, there's a lot that falls under the category of undoing the heavy burdens. We may feel like that there are burdens in our life. It could be financial. It can be a loved one. It can be a lot of different situations. You think of something that can drag a person down. And according to that scripture, you've got a right to fast and seek God for that. Amen? Undo the heavy burden. Sometimes the Lord will undo the heavy burden and leave you in the same situation for a while. But eventually, things will change. I look at myself and look at some of the things that I went through for years. And when I got the Holy Ghost, the night that I got the Holy Ghost, God called me to preach. And it took me 23 years to get to this place. This is where I was called to. I believe that with everything. Some of the places I stopped in the meantime were just a preparation place. But I believe that the Lord prepared me for this day. God prepared me for this church. And there were times when I was so discouraged because I felt like that God had, you know, you called me to preach and, you know, it's 15 years now, Lord, and things just are not going good and so on and so forth. But the Lord heard my prayer. He brought me to this place, one of the best places, or the best place that we've ever been in the world. You may not think a lot of New Jersey, but I feel like I'm in the will of God right here. And we've got people to reach. We've got a work to do for the Lord. And of course, the hard part around here is reaching people. It's very difficult to reach people around here. Many people believe that fasting is to move the hand of God, when actually it is to make Satan turn loose of the things that he is holding. Amen. This is why one of my prayer requests, if you've read that prayer sheet, is that the devil would loose those that he takes captive. Doesn't the scripture talk about that? That there are those that Satan takes captive at his will. So what we're telling the devil, let my people go. Amen. Let my people go. So we believe in the power of the Lord. Fasting looses the bands of wickedness. When Jesus discussed the keys to the kingdom, he told us to bind and to loose. When we fast, we loose the bands of wickedness. We undo heavy burdens. We set the oppressed free. And we break the yoke of the enemy. Amen. Fasting is an important key to getting the victory over hard situations that don't seem to respond to normal prayer. Fasting will build your faith. Amen. When you go through it, and that's why Brother Sabas was like, I'm ready to do it, man, because he had some faith built last year. God healed him of a thyroid problem. His diabetes is under control. He got some faith last year. So when we talked about fasting this year, he's like, come on, let's go. Why? Because you've seen results. And it may be hard. It may be difficult. But you see results, and you're ready to go after it again. You're ready. Okay, Lord, I'm ready to go. We got to see some things happen here, God. Would you give us the victory over some things that we're struggling with? Amen. This is what Jesus meant when he spoke to the disciples in Matthew 17:21. And as to his answer as to why we're not able to cast out devils, he said, howbeit, this kind goes out not by prayer and fasting. He was telling them if they wanted their faith to be at such a level as to be able to cast out devils, they've got to fast and they've got to pray for their faith to increase. Fasting also makes it easier for us to hear the voice of the Lord. We find the account of this in Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. and they ministered to the Lord, and they fasted, and the Holy Ghost said to them, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them, and they sent them away. While fasting, the Holy Ghost spoke to them, gave them direction. I don't think they were fasting, 21 days. They had come together for a meeting. I don't know if it was a day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever the case was. The Holy Ghost spoke because of fasting. Fasting and mourning are closely associated in the Bible. We've got two examples that are found in Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra chapter 10 and verse 6. Then Ezra rose up before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink no water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. And in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. From these scriptures, we see that fasting and travail. Travail is a prayer burden from the Lord that brings crying and tears. They were combined. Amen. Sometimes we feel that when we're praying, we go into just a kind of a travailing spirit. That's a level we haven't reached very often in this church, but we got to reach that place. Because the Bible says when Zion travailed, sons and daughters were born. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want to see some sons and daughters. Amen. I want us to be able to reach into this town. I want us to be able to reach into this community, this area. I want to see people get the Holy Ghost. I want to see them get delivered. I want to see them set free. I want to see them live for God. No doubt we live in a very spiritually difficult area, but what is impossible with man is not impossible for God. Amen. Always speak positive. Never speak negative. Come on, amen. Always speak. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking, but what you say will attract spirits. If you look at the book of Daniel, when the angel came, the angel said that I am come for thy words. So if his words could attract angels of the Lord, don't you think that the words that you speak can attract a devil? Oppressions, spirits of oppression, spirits of depression? Sure they can. Don't you sit there and speak doubt and speak despair and speak things that are never going to happen. Don't do that. Always speak positive. You can say it may not look good, but I know God's able. Amen. May not look like anything's going to happen. And it's darkest before the sun rises. That's what they say. Amen. There's always a silver, and every dark cloud is a silver lining. Always speak positive. Never let the devil get you down. Always speak positive. Always speak words of faith, and you will attract spirits of faith. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord again. Both of these men, Nehemiah and Ezra, were fasting for the repentance of God's people. How we need the same kind of intercession today. And here the men were so burdened for the sins of the people that they fasted, they travailed, and they prayed. And today God is looking for people that are willing to take the same kind of burden in the Spirit. The Scripture talks about that he looked for someone to stand in the gap, and he could find no man. Let that not be said in Secaucus. Let that be said that he looked for someone to stand in the hedge, and he found a dozen folks. Amen. He found willing vessels to stand in the gap. Praise the Lord. If you want to see your family in revival, you've got to stand in the gap for them. You know, statistics say that the vast majority, I'm talking about like 98% of everybody that comes into the church is because they have a friend, they have a family member, they have an associate, they have an enemy, they've got somebody that they know that brought them to the house of the Lord. I'm going to be emphasizing down the road a little bit. As a matter of fact, I bought some videos and some CDs on soul winning and teaching Bible studies. Would you believe that two of the shipments came damaged, and I complained, and they gave me my money back because they looked at the rest of them And every one of those was damaged also. So they actually took the whole shipment and sent them back to the church that made them and making them replace them. So when they get them back, I'll be able to get them. But we've got to reach people somehow. I've got some stuff at home now, ordered some new Bible studies and ordered some stuff. And we've got to get out of our shells. We've got to win some people to God. Amen. And statistically, it's not going to be the people you knock on the door for. It's going to be people that you have some way, some kind of relationship with. So when you look at your friend and you say, well, there's no way I can win them to God. You know, I think back to my situation. I had a friend, and, well, he became my friend. He was my enemy then. I hated him. I would curse him just for fun. I'm talking about B.C., before Christ. I was nasty. I was mean. I was arrogant. I would curse him and make fun of him. And one time, I got in trouble, and I prayed, God, if you're really real, you got to help me. And I went to old Nathaniel, and I said, Nathaniel, I want to go to church with you. Now, Nathaniel was a guy, he taught Bible studies like I'd never seen anybody teach Bible studies. We had 105 people in our building, and he taught Bible studies. I don't know anybody that he could. He would teach Bible studies to every one of them except me. Later on, he told me, I would not. I didn't even want nothing to do with you. You were mean. You were ugly. You were nasty. I didn't want. But guess who it was out of all those people that came to God? The ugly, mean, and nasty one. It was me. And the night I got the Holy Ghost, he told me, it's not possible. You didn't get the Holy Ghost. So don't sit there and say, I can't win them. Because you don't know who God is working on. This is why the Bible says, in the morning sow thy seed. In the evening withhold not thine hand. For you don't know what is going to prosper. And I promise you that if somebody is having a spiritual problem, they're ready for God, the devil's going to come to you and say, no, not that one. He's not ready. She's not ready. You just chill out. And they're not going to receive it. You don't know. As a matter of fact, you don't know whether they're going to receive it today or 6 months from now. Sometimes you sow a seed, and that seed gets inside of people's hearts. Down the road, they come to God. Amen. Down the road, they come to church. They'll come to you and say, will you pray for me? Will you help me? Will you do this for me? You don't know what the Lord will do. And it'll never happen if you withhold your seed, if you withhold your hand. Just believe God and believe that the Lord is able to reach people. Teach some Bible studies. I've got some very, very simple Bible studies. Just talked about salvation, talked about God. You say, well, you mean tell people they're not saved? No, the Bible tells them they're not saved. This is why when people come to me and they say, are you telling me I'm not saved? I say, no. I tell them that. I tell them, no, I'm not saying you're not saved. I tell them God's the judge. And that's the truth. The Word of God is the judge. And I tell them, if you see something in this Bible study, you need to do it. And Bible studies are a little bit difficult around here, too. But doesn't mean it's impossible. Amen? Maybe we need to pray against that spirit that keeps people from receiving the Word of God. I don't know. We got to do some things. Amen? We've got to reach out somehow. And fasting and prayer will give us these inspirations, give us these ideas, give us these thoughts. Witnessing under God's leadership is a spiritual work. God's looking for laborers who are ready to go work for Him. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38 says, then saith He unto the disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that He will send laborers unto His harvest. The Lord is looking for workers. He's looking for people who will labor to produce eternal results. Laboring in the Spirit brings many into the kingdom of God and causes much growth in the church. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and stop right here. I'm kind of like halfway through. I got an inspiration tonight, and I've got a whole bunch of stuff down, and we're going to go ahead and I'm going to finish that next week. But I want to go ahead and talk to you about the laboring part, laboring for God. Souls are not going to be won. Let's face it, when the pastor comes to you and says, hi, I want to teach you your Bible study, most people, majority of people, are like, you just want a new member for your church. They do not understand that. I don't look at it like that. And Sister E, why don't you come to the piano? I don't look at it like that. I look at it as I want to see somebody get saved. Amen. I want to see them baptized. I want to see them get the Holy Ghost. If they're doing drugs, I want to see them stop drugs. If they're drinking, I want to see them delivered from drinking. Whatever the case is, I want to see them live godly, wholesome lives. It has nothing to do with a member in the church. It has nothing to do with finances. All that will come through winning souls. But the bottom motivation is God didn't call me to be a CEO. God called me to be a pastor of a church to see people one to God. So, but a lot of people don't want to hear from the pastor, but they will hear from you. Amen? They will hear from you. There's an old song that we sing. It says, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. Amen? Let's all stand today, and let's kind of gather around the front, and we're going to sing that song, and I just want to leave you with that thought about the Lord wants laborers in his field. He doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us to be complacent. He wants us to get a burden for the lost. Amen. I know Brother Leo has been witnessing, and Brother Leo's been talking to folks. Brother Leo, you're going to win some people to God. The Lord's going to use you. Amen. Brother Sabas, the Lord's going to use you. Amen. I don't know. I haven't heard many other stories, but I know some of you folks are talking to folks. Sooner or later, some things are going to break forth. If you will just be faithful. If you will just say, Lord, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. God will lead you to the right people. Be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. Let him lead you and guide you. This is why prayer is so important. Prayer can be instruction, not only like, Lord, I need some things, but prayer can also be instruction from on high. And every day, every time you pray, you need to pray, order my steps. Scripture says the steps of a good man and woman are ordered of the Lord. So every time that you pray, especially in the morning, and this is one of the benefits of early morning prayer, you take the day before the day has begun. Pray that prayer, Lord, order my steps today, God. Help me, Lord. Lead me, guide me, speak to me, direct me, and God will do that. Amen. Let's sing this song.